welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved, my spiritual family. This is Sister Glass, and I thank the Lord that you are able to join me today. On yesterday's broadcast, I began laying a foundation on the subject of our relationship to the Holy Spirit. And as our text, we looked at Ephesians 4:30, which declares, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." And because I trust that you love Jesus, and if you don't know Jesus, I trust that as you get to know Him, you will fall in love with Him, because He's utterly lovely. He's the fairest of 10,000. There's none like Him. He loves you so much. He loves His people, and He wants us not only to have eternal life, but an abundant life in the here and now. And the ways we can do that is by following in the commands of the Lord, and they're not hard or grievous. And so it's a very important subject. It's been a long time since I've ministered on this subject about pleasing the Holy Spirit or not grieving Him. In fact, I would like to begin. I'm actually going to be sharing six ways that the Scripture talks about that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And as I shared on yesterday's broadcast, to grieve, by definition, according to Webster, means to cause to suffer, to distress, to feel grief or sorrow. And Jesus is not with us. Jesus has sent His Spirit into our hearts. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He ever lives to make intercession for us. And He said it's necessary. He told His disciples 2,000 years ago, and it's necessary for me to leave, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't come. And He's one just like me. In other words, if we want to learn about Jesus, well, we don't have a better instructor than the Holy Spirit. So it's really important we seek to develop and facilitate and desire ever-increasing intimacy and relationship with the Holy Spirit, because that's how we're going to grow. He's, you know, in recent years, it's really important, those that are into physical exercise and getting in shape, people now want a personal trainer. Well, beloved, He is a personal trainer, and He will customize your spiritual walk, and also He's very concerned about the practical things of your life too. So you don't have a better deal anywhere. This is a loving, gracious, all-wise friend, a helper, one who walks alongside, who will help you in every difficulty you face, every trial, every battle. There is nothing that you and the Holy Spirit can't resolve, can't handle, can't get through. And that's why Jesus, who loves us so much, and the Father also, that's why they sent the Holy Spirit. So it's really important that we learn to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me read not just the text, but I want to read it in context. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verses 29 through 31. And again, well, actually, I'll read through 32. And the King James is my Bible. So I'll be reading the Authorized King James. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." In other words, think about all the things you've been forgiven of. And so we need to be as merciful, as tenderhearted, as forgiving as God has been to us. Now, what's the first way, but looking at this scripture, that we can grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, by our tongue, by unholy and vain talk. And we can see this as we look at the scriptural context of that verse 30, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." And it goes in that verse 29th verse, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Now, let's just put that in modern day language. Corrupt means to change from good to bad in morals, in manners or actions, to become morally debased. We are holy vessels set apart for the Lord, and that's what holy means, set apart for a sacred use, for God's use. And so any words that come out of our mouth, any communication, if you will, that doesn't edify, that doesn't minister grace to the hearer, has a corrupting influence. Haven't you been in situations where there's maybe a Christian fellowship, and all of a sudden somebody says something that just is off the wall? It's negative. It doesn't minister grace. It's gossip or whatever it is. Well, this kind of speech is a source of grief, not only to you because the Holy Spirit resides in you, but it's a source of grief to the Holy Spirit, who's come to teach us the things which belong to the incorruptible Christ. And so we have to be careful of how we use our tongue. And you know what James said? Hey, if any of you can master the use of your tongue, the same as a perfect man. That's a high standard. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. The Lord never asks us anything in His Word that is impossible for us to follow. Remember, I remember this first sermon I ever preached. It was really a book. I didn't know any better. This was back in the 70s. I preached my first sermon. It was an hour and a half long. I mean, I preached on it was sort of an overwhelming subject, but I tackled perfection. What does it mean to be perfect? And of course, Jesus said, "Be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." Well, He wouldn't ask us to do that if we could not attain it. And we can have a perfect heart before Him. See, that's the kind of perfection Jesus was talking about. And if we have a perfect heart, then, in other words, we want to love Him. We serve Him with all of our heart, soul, and strength. We obey that first and great commandment. If we are willing to do that, then He will enable us to bring that perfection into other aspects of our lives. Will we ever be sinless? Well, I doubt that. Probably not until Jesus comes, but we can strive toward it. As Paul says, he turned from the failures of the past and he pressed on to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God. So let me just share some scriptures with you. Psalm 34 and 13, says it's a prayer, it's an admonition, "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile." And that's, Lord, we just want to pray right now that You will keep our tongues from evil, keep our lips from speaking guile or deceit. Proverbs 10 and 20 says, "The tongue of the just is as choice silver." Proverbs 18 and 21 declare, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." And we want to use this very powerful instrument. James likens it to the rudder of a ship. Rudder is very small, but it literally turns the whole ship. Well, the words of our mouth, to a great degree, define the direction that we go in. And so, beloved, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, out of my mouth. Let it only edify grace to the hearers. All right, that's a first and really important way that we can grieve the Holy Spirit, or conversely, we can please Him if we will honor the things that He loves, that we will, you know, speak and think of those things that are lovely, of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think and speak on these things. Amen? I mean, it's too easy. The world does nothing but criticize. The world does nothing but find fault. So if that's what is you're doing out of your mouth all the time, well, you're not much different from the world. And I think I'll just not say any more. Let the Holy Spirit take it from there. All right. Now, what's a second way that we can grieve the Holy Spirit? You know, I'm being lighthearted, but these are very serious subjects. This is a very serious matter. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And so we need not only to watch our tongue, but we need to be aware of His presence. When we're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in our spirit. And so one of the ways we can grieve the Holy Spirit is by ignoring His presence, pretending He's not even there. Remember, I said as I began this series that if you think of yourself as a very sensitive person, there's someone that's infinitely more sensitive than you, and that is the Holy Spirit. Now, what does it mean to be sensitive? Well, all right, I'm so glad you wanted to know. I'm going to share the definition with you. It means, by again Webster's definition, highly responsive or susceptible, as there's two parts here, easily hurt or damaged, especially emotionally, and secondly, delicately aware of the attitudes and feelings of others. So that implies two parts. It means that you personally can be easily hurt or offended or hurt emotionally, or it also means that you're very sensitive, you're very aware of the attitudes and feelings of others. You don't want to hurt them. You're very careful not to offend. You watch what you say because you're very aware of the feelings of others. They kind of go together. And so the Holy Spirit has us all beat. He's definitely much more responsive and susceptible in His feelings. He can be hurt. And of course, He's very, very aware of your feelings, of my feelings, and He wants to help us through the hard places in our lives. My goodness, this broadcast had just flew by, and there's so much more I want to share with you, but you have to turn in tomorrow, and we'll just tune in tomorrow, and we'll just continue on. I do thank you for listening. I do love you, my spiritual family. UCM Partners, I'm so grateful for your prayer support, your financial help. Without you, well, we would not have been able to carry on this ministry now for almost 50 years. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, God bless you. This is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.